are about to hear a life-changing message preached at the Qadesh Family Church in Memphis by the Reverend Kojo Orleans Lindsay. In Proverbs 23:7, it tells us, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." Backsliding is a matter of the heart that starts from the mind. In this Sunday's message, Reverend Lindsay preaches on the psychology of backsliding. Backsliding will not take your favor away, so go back to prayer, go back to fasting, go back to working for the Lord, go back to reading His Word, go back to fellowship, go back to inviting people to Jesus. You are not too far gone, so listen in and be blessed.
I waited on the Lord to hear His gentle voice for guidance and direction where to go. I opened up my voice to hear the perfect will of God. His will is what I need, His perfect will. As I spent so many hours in the presence of the Lord, I calmed down and began to hear His voice. The lovely voice of God, Your tender voice revealing the mysteries of Your will at the crossroads of my life. No other voice compares to Yours. It's the sweetest sound my heart has ever heard. The lovely voice of God. Spirit entered into me when He spoke to me. The words He spoke to me, they were spirit, they were life. Those visions and dreams, oh, how they turned my life around and brought direction to my ministry. As I rose up from my knees, there was a mantle now on me. I had found grace for mighty works, and I will never, never be the same. Oh, the lovely voice of God, Your tender voice revealing the mysteries of Your will at the crossroads of my life. No other voice compares, oh no. The sweetest sound my heart has ever heard. The lovely voice of God. The lovely voice of God. Your tender voice revealing the mysteries of Your will at the crossroads of my life. No other voice compares, oh no. It's the sweetest sound my heart has ever heard. The lovely voice of God. The lovely voice of God.
The lovely voice of God. I pray that today you will hear the lovely voice of God through the preaching. Someone say the lovely voice of God. You know, there are some people, when you hear their words, their voice, you just get excited. You know, I don't know whether you've tried it before, but if you haven't, try it. Everybody try and go to Bible.is. It's a good Bible, free up. It reads the Bible, sometimes dramatized and all that. And it's beautiful. And you know, one time I was listening to the Bible being read. And I listened to Matthew from chapter 5 through to chapter 7. And that was Jesus's prayer on the mount. I mean, teaching on the mountain. The Beatitudes and all that. Blessed is the man and all that. Blessed is he who is merciful, for he shall obtain mercy, all that. Listen, by the time I finished, I said, my goodness, those who were there when Jesus was preaching directly were so blessed. It was so honorable. It was so beautiful. And I've grown addicted to hearing. If you have, you know, recently somebody told me that I gave the person a tape. At that time, we didn't have these apps and all that. Cell phones were rare. That was more than 20 years ago when I came to the United States. And the person was telling me how much I made an impact. And I said, what did I do? He said, I gave a tape cassette recorder. Some of you were not born. You don't know what cassette tape recorder was. Victoria was not born. But I think Esther was born at that time. Anyway. How possible? Anyway, cassette tape recorder, he said I gave. And it had just 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians on it. She said she travels to do her work. She said he played it back and forth. That time she had auto reverse. So by the time she came back, she had actually, she could recite many parts of the 1 Corinthians. So that was the beginning of her Christian life. And she became very deep. When God speaks to you regularly, it makes a difference. All of us, many of us who have difficulty reading the Bible, begin to love the voice of God by listening to the audio type of Bible. Clap for the Lord Jesus. And, you know, these days, it's very, now we have it just straight on our phone, so we don't do it. Those days, they didn't have it. I gave just one tape, cassette tape, old one, that I had played and played and played, and he loved it. Told her, bring it back. When she came back from her trips, she gave me back the tape, and she asked me, please show me where to buy the whole set. She bought the whole of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation on cassette tape recorder. Clap for the Lord Jesus. And she kept hearing the lovely voice of God. Today, she's blessed, stable Christian, blessed of the Lord, peace like a river in her house. I will challenge you to do the same. We have been doing one chapter a day. We've been on the book of Jeremiah. We're on Jeremiah chapter 10. I'm sure tomorrow it's going to be Jeremiah chapter 11. One chapter a day. All right. So read and hear the lovely voice of God. Rise to your feet. Let's pray. Put your hand on your heart. Oh, Father, we bless your name. Lift up your hands and say, Lord, speak to me. I'm coming to you like a baby. I want to hear your lovely voice. Speak, speak, for your servant heareth. Father, Master, speak, for your servant heareth. I pray, speak to your children. Your word says you will teach us and you will lead us because you redeemed us so that we will have peace like a river. We will have peace like a river, righteousness like the waves of the sea, and our seeds and our fruits and offspring will increase. And our name will be known before you. Let all that come to fruition in this message as we come before you. Forgive us for our sins. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. We plead the blood of Jesus Christ. Let the word of God have free course in Jesus Christ's mighty name. Amen. Somebody shout your loudest amen. Somebody on Zoom, wave your loudest, most exciting wave of amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Put your hands together and be seated in the presence of the Lord. I like you guys on Zoom because I see that many of you have put on your videos.
We love you too.
Your videos on. You love me too. You too. I love you. Amen. So love Jesus by turning on your videos. Your, you know, And I believe that you'll be blessed. You know what? I think that everybody should endeavor to come in physical, in-person service. We have a lot of space for you. You know, now we have multiple rooms. You know, we have big screen for the celebration hall and all that. So I'll be preaching and I'll walk and come there and then come here. So don't be afraid that when you come, you won't see me. You'll see me. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Yeah. I'll be moving into wherever you are, moving to various places because, you know, Jesus Christ likes us. His spirit is everywhere. The words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. After all, it will be better than you being on Zoom. So don't complain that when I come, I won't see Pastor because he's there, he's even whatever. I'll be walking there. I'll shake your hand personally. I will lay hands on you by the grace of God. The blessing of the Lord that maketh rich and adds no sorrow will rest upon your life. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Again, I want to explain to that scripture, Psalm 84 and verse number 7. It says, they grow from strength to strength. Everyone, Psalm 84 verse 7, they go from strength to strength. Every one of them, that of them in Zion, that appears, makes an appearance before God. Hallelujah. And God will bless you. And also Romans chapter 1 and verse 11, the Bible says that, you know, I long to see you. You know, anybody God actually uses to teach you, you know, this is the heart of that person and is the heart of God towards you. You know, I'm seeing, but I'm representing God. I'm God's representative to speak the word of God. Thomas, it's good to see you. Amen. You know, for a long, you know, I spoke to him and he said he would come and he's made his word more powerful. Clap for the Lord Jesus. For I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gifts to the end that you may be established. You see, God is saying that those who come and they actually are part of this scripture, they go home with gifts. Gifts. Spiritual gifts. Sometimes the gift is the gift of healing. Sometimes the gift of tongues, the gift of discernment of spirits. Yeah. Sometimes the gift of prophecy. Yeah. Sometimes the gift of working of miracles in your life. So nobody goes the same. And Bible says these things tend to help you to be established. Okay. So you realize that the more you close yourself off, the less established you are. It's true. It's true. That's why COVID, this season of COVID, has caused a lot of backsliding. Because it has pushed us away. You see, all of you, see how you used to love church and come to church. Now, even though it's open, you have been vaccinated, you have your somebody said nose mask. I mean, face mask. All that. Person is looking at me, but I'm not looking there. Anyway, you have your face mask or your nose mask and all that, but you said you still not make it. It's a condition of the heart. Amen. And today I want to share with you that condition that prevents you from experiencing this kind of spiritual gifting. You see, that spiritual. You know, today last week I was reading the whole book of Jeremiah is about backsliding. And God was saying, you know, give me Jeremiah chapter 9. You know, I cried in my heart for the Lord. The Lord said, because of the backsliding children, children who used to love him, children who used to come to church, children of God who used to pray a lot, but they don't pray. To backslide means to go back from the level of relationship you were in the Lord to a lower level. Let's say you used to pray 1 hour, and now you only pray 30 minutes, or sometimes you don't pray at all. You have backsliding. Let's say you used to go to church every week, and now you go once a month. You are backsliding. Let's say you used to go in-person service, and now, even on video, you don't want to turn on. You are backsliding. It's true. I mean, those times, you would move in, but now, even church service, you don't care whether you're late or you're not, and it doesn't move you. You're backsliding. To slide back. And it's not an event, so you can't tell when it happened. It's a process. It's a slow. When you hear the word slide, It means you are standing back. The movement is going on. It's a glide. It's a slide. You are slipping. When they say you are on a slippery slope, it means you are doing, you are at a stage where it's difficult to stop you. And you don't even realize, but you're going down. It's a slippery slope. Backsliding is a slippery slope. Ladies, and gradually, let me tell you, what that means is that you are sliding from the Lord. Yeah. Sliding from the Bible says, you remember the in the Good Samaritan story, I believe in Luke chapter 10, the Bible says there was a man who went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and he fell among thieves. When you go down from Jerusalem is where the Zion is. God says those who come to Zion or Jerusalem, that's where God is. Bible says he went down from Jerusalem. And behold, I said, look, it went down. Look at that scripture. Luke chapter 10, I believe verse 26. There was a certain man who went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and he fell amongst thieves. You see that? Please go to the next verse. Verse 30. Luke chapter 10, verse 30. Jesus said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. You know, Jericho is the place that the Lord cursed. Jericho, the walls fell apart and God said, nobody will put these walls together again. Jericho is a place without walls, without protection, and that there is a curse. It's sliding towards the devil's arena. So when they say a man moved from Jerusalem and where to go? To Jericho without walls, without the presence of God, without the protection of God Almighty, that's not a good place. No wonder Bible says he fell among thieves and they stripped him of his raiment, wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. Ladies and gentlemen, when you backslide, this is your situation. You see, you go down. It's a backsliding. This man went down. He was with in Jerusalem, where God was. Jerusalem, where the city of the Lord is called Jerusalem, where the people of the Lord was, where God had designated for his presence to be. And he went down. Ladies and gentlemen, anytime you backslide, you can't go up on God. You go down. You lose. You go down. It's a slide. It's a backward and downwards movement. Any way you're backsliding, you used to fast once a week. Now you don't remember the last time you fasted. It's a backsliding. You're going down from Jerusalem. Jerusalem represents the presence of God, the place of God, the closeness to God, the protection of God, the place where God is. Yeah, it shows proximity to God. And anybody who goes down, you are like the man who went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. You will fall among thieves. Because the Bible says the devil cometh not but for to steal, thief, to kill, armed robber, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Clap for the Lord Jesus. This is the life that Jesus is restoring you to. He fell among thieves and they stripped him. Backsliders are always stripped, but they don't realize it. Have you been there where something of yours was stolen, but you didn't recognize until you needed it? Yeah. You know, recently I left this place here and I went with some group of church members. We had brought our car here, you know, and then I went and then, you know, Sister Ariel had the car key. And so I went and we stayed long with the church members looking for some church buildings by the grace of God. Amen. By the grace of God, we'll get a cathedral soon in Jesus' name. Right here in Memphis. We are believing God, we are looking, and God will give us. Because, you know, our church has grown, and when we all assemble here, hey, we're not going to fit here anymore. By the grace of God, has grown our church in this COVID season. Clap for the Lord Jesus. You know, so I left and I went. At a point, Lady Pastor, and they had finished their work here in the church A lady pastor had the car key and was going out there to go to his car. Brother Carl was giving the car key, go and turn on the engine. And when Brother Carl went, the car was not there. Car was not there. But she didn't realize the car was gone until she needed it. So sometimes the thief has tripped you. You don't know it until the time comes and you realize, oh, I don't know any scripture. I'm surprised. Oh, I don't know how to pray. Fasting is a difficult thing for me. Now you need fasting. And that your habit of fasting that you needed, now you realize, you used to fast days, but now you did 3 hours and you feel like eating. Stolen. Yeah. Revelation. You are trying to win soul. You try. You've not done it for a long time. He goes, oh, I've even forgotten all that. You've been stripped. Been stripped. The car was not there. She was there comfortably, but she had been stripped. Fortunately, the thief was her own husband. Clap for the Lord Jesus. What she didn't know that I had pocketed a spare key and I had intentionally taken the car. And so Carl called me and said, where are you? I said, why? She said, we're looking for the car. We can't find it. I said, really? Where did you leave the car? And I played along and played along. By the time they came, they were here searching for the car. And I drove nicely and parked. Ladies and gentlemen, don't wait. This time it was a husband, but if you backslide, it's not your husband, it's the devil that will strip you. That one, he will not restore. It will not be a joke. This ended well, and we lived happily ever after. But that one, it didn't end well. The man was stripped of his raiment. The devil wants to strip you naked of your covering. The raiment means God's covering on your life. God's protection against disease. God's protection. He stripped him of his raiment. And it means God's covering. It means that he brought disgrace, shame, exposure. God covers us, but Satan exposes us. And wounded him. Wounded him. To be wounded, stripped, and to be wounded, it means now to cause you pain. It's painful to backslide. To cause wounds and bitterness and infection is, look, anybody who's backslidden before, just like I have backslidden before, is a painful thing. And departed, you feel void and lonely. One time I cried to the Lord in my backslidden state, Lord, please come back. I feel lonely. I feel left behind. The Lord says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. But when you backslide, if you are spiritual and you sense the presence of God before, you know it when you're backsliding, that look, this one, I'm dry. Yeah, it's a feeling you will never forget. And you crave, you even cry. If it's not happened to you before, perhaps, I don't know what that means. Amen. Leaving him half dead. You see, feel like life has been taken away from you. Listen, God is not happy. Therefore, he sent a good Samaritan who comes. The Bible says that he took him on his own. God wants to, he took him back and he sent him. He put oil and wine, sent him to the inn and told the innkeeper, keep him till I come. Jesus is bringing you back to church. Clap for the Lord Jesus. I said it's a back to church Sunday. Next Sunday, we want to do back to church celebration. When are we doing the praise and worship night? Friday. It's going to be a month long. The whole month of October, God willing, is a back to church month. Back to church. Somebody say back to church. Back to church. Yeah. Bible says he carried him in his backslidden state. God loves you so much. Bible says that, you know, the good Samaritan who represents Jesus carried him on his own ass or donkey and sent him into the inn and told the innkeeper, keep him. Don't let him go anywhere till I come. Heal all the wounds. I put oil and wine, but heal him. And I'll pay you whatever it takes to keep him here until I come. You will never backslide in Jesus' name. I said, you will never backslide in Jesus' name. He sent him to the inn. So we are moving everybody into the inn one by one. And then we will get our cathedral and you will now really enjoy in the house of the Lord. Clap for the Lord Jesus. So the month of October is what? The month of back to church. Return, recovery, restoration, back to church. No backsliding, no Jericho. It's a Jerusalem month. Some will say it's a Jerusalem. In fact, we will turn it to Jericho to Jerusalem month. Jericho to Jerusalem. Not Jerusalem to Jericho up to Jerusalem. Clap for the Lord Jesus. We will start with number one, Galatians 6:6. Number two, worship and praise night. We'll come to the Lord and say, we are back. We will give you a heart of worship. That is the first Friday. I think it's the second Friday, 8th evening at 6 p.m. True worship ministration. We will be here and sing to the Lord. Lord, we didn't come to pray. We didn't come to ask for anything. We didn't even come to hear preaching per se. We just came to worship and to say thank you for putting us back on your donkey and bringing us back to the King of Kings. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Yeah. Night with the King of Kings. Night, not with Jericho curse, but with the King of Kings. It will be super fantastic. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Yeah. But next Sunday is Galatians 6:6 Sunday. Galatians 6:6 says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Amen. Now, in every year, we celebrate and we appreciate the pastor and founder of this church with a gift, and with a gift of prayer and a gift. I mean, I'm going to bring a gift, a substantial gift to say, thank you, Bishop Doug. We appreciate you. You know, recent times, I've seen a lot of attacks, people who have been trained and well-nourished to become pastors and things, say all kinds of nasty things, lack of appreciation. And I said, this morning, I looked at the churches and the pastors that this man, in his young years, has really worked. Very few people have written the number of books, done the number of conferences, built the number of churches, trained people like me who lived in a nightclub to become a preacher like him. And as the attack, and I tell myself, is only when a tree has ripe mangoes that children throw sticks at it. He's been through a lot of attack. There's a time to appreciate what he has done. To tell him, some people may hate you, but we love you. We appreciate what you have done. How would I have been here? A nightclub pimp like me. Yeah. To become a priest, to be married to such a nice wife, to be listened to by such nice people. Look at Victoria. Look at Brother Prince. Look at Mama. Oh, my goodness. Lena, look, all of you, to be... Dwight, I am honored to be called your pastor. Brother Michael, you don't know how much of an honor it is to me that I am preaching, a pimp by origins. Now, an honorable man like this listens to me. Young people, that I was no better when I was a child, but look at you, beautiful, righteous girls and boys. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Yeah. And so the Bible says, the person who taught you to become that, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto the one who taught in every good thing. So next Sunday is Galatians 6:6 Sunday. It's Pastor's Appreciation Day. And all the ways you would want to appreciate me, I want you to help me to appreciate my pastor who trained me for me to train you. Is it a good thing? Clap for the Lord Jesus. Yeah, because I expect Mama Victoria to train Esther and goodness how to appreciate Mama Mercy. Because without Mama Mercy, she would not be existing. Yeah, Mama Mercy could have decided, I don't want this pregnancy anymore and it will be over. Amen. Let's begin to appreciate our pastor. Sunday will be a nice service. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Well, a few minutes to say some few words about backsliding and the mentality of backsliding. The topic is the psychology of backsliding. the psychology of backsliding. You know, why do we need to know about the psychology of backsliding? Because sometimes when you understand things from the psychological standpoint, you can uproot it. How do backsliders think? What are some of the thought processes that go through your mind that sets you up on the road, Renee, to backslide? If you can understand that, you will do well. Do you know? You know, sometimes a lot of the things that we do, we have spoken to ourselves before we do them. It occurs in your mind. And then when you keep it long time in your mind, it enters your heart. And then you start actually now acting it out. And actually, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs chapter 23, is it Proverbs 23 verse 7? Yes. It says, as he thinketh, or as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Your thinking is you. Look, let me tell you something. Everybody is a product of their thinking. Yeah, it's true. Brother Prince, come this way. You see? Brother Michael. You see? There's a way they are thinking. That's why they are. You see, this man is thinking that COVID is real. So you can see this. It is thinking, oh. It is thinking. This man also thinks COVID is real. Now, I'm preaching. So I've opened the microphone. When I came here, I was wearing the thing. My wife said, oh, you can put off the thing. You remember that? I kept it on. It's a thinking. The others who don't think it's real, they will not put it on. You get my point? Now, this man feels that if you're coming to church, there's a way to dress. That's why he's seen this way. He didn't wear his pajamas. You get my point? This man, let me see your finger, your left. You see, big ring. He believes in the fact that I should keep a woman at home and have children and all that. It is thinking. But there was a time he didn't think that way. He was a freelance boy. He had lorries and things like that. But the day his mind changed, you can see that his situation has changed. Clap for the Lord Jesus. You can see. Everything is your thinking, eh? You can see clearly that, you know, he thinks. This man was told that he needs to have a kidney. And because of the kidney he needs to have, he needs to lose weight. He used to... Look, when I hold this man, he's a teddy bear. I hug him. I enjoy it. Soft, cuddly. One time, my children said, Brother Michael has breasts behind him. Today, all the breasts are gone. It is his thinking that has caused him to lose this man. Look at how healthy, how gentleman of a man. Now, a kidney awaits you soon in Jesus' name. Clap for the Lord Jesus. He's thinking, God bless you. You can sit down. So you're thinking. Now, everybody who backslides also, as they think, that's what they become. So if we can affect their thinking, Bible says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So you are changed when your mind changes. When you go to school, oh, what do they do? A man stands there and talks. What are they? They're teaching you. They're changing your thinking so that you will, in future, look a certain way, think a certain way, behave a certain way to get a certain level of results. Yeah. Backsliders have a way of thinking. That's why, you see, I said that thinking is in your mind. But the next thing that is serious is it enters your heart. Then you start acting. That's why the Bible says in the book of Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, guard your heart with all diligence, or keep your heart, for out of it are the issues of life. Okay? So backsliding is a heart thing that starts from the mind. Yeah. That's why you have to be very careful what you hear and how you hear it. Because when you hear something, Bible says, faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing by the word of God. As you are hearing the word of God, faith is coming in your heart. So it starts, the psychology of backsliding is very important. Okay, backsliding is one of the issues of life, and therefore when it enters your life, it changes, it enters your heart. It actually issues, life issues from the heart when backsliding enters. It's the truth. So you have to learn how they, so what are the thought processes? Number one, some of the things they think about, some of the attitudes. In fact, thought processes bring attitudes. You know, thought processes bring attitude. A thought in the heart becomes an attitude. A thought makes you, oh, attitude. Then an attitude becomes some action. Then action becomes a behavior pattern. Then behavior pattern, if it's not checked, becomes a lifestyle. I tell you, a thought is where it started. A thought. As a man thinketh in his life, so in his heart, so is he. A thought in the heart. A thought, when it enters the heart, a thought in his heart becomes an attitude. Now you start having a certain attitude. And then that attitude becomes into action. You act on it. Yeah. For example, when it comes to the church, going to church, a thought occurs to you, ah, why should I go? You know, I remember Brother Prince. You know, I talked to Brother Prince, right? We have all been in the church and we've, you know, COVID has, I saw that Brother Prince would come and drop the children and then go home. Did you also remember that? I said, ah, this is not Brother Prince. You see, then I talked to him and I asked him, he said, oh, I enjoy doing the Zoom. And he did. And I told Brother Prince a few things. I preached and I talked and we discussed. And I told him a few things. You know, by the end of the day, Brother Prince said, Pastor, it's true. I won't come this week, but next week I'll come. And from that time I'll come. You see, so thought changed, thought in his heart. Now, his attitude towards the Zoom changed towards church. And then the next time, instead of dropping off the children, he dropped them off and dropped himself off. And then come the guy here. Look at him today, blessed and being used to help our preaching. So you see, you will not think of it as backsliding because it's an attitude. It's just a way of thinking. It's become a habit. So he has, was on the habit stage. Now action had become a habit. If the habit had continued, it would have become a behavior pattern, and it became. But it didn't become a lifestyle. It was caught before it became a lifestyle. And look at it today. Today he's with the sound, he's helping the preaching and all that. Last week he told me, Pastor, I'm so happy that I came. Clap for the Lord Jesus. All of you on Zoom, may you be ministered to by this. Amen. So the attitude number one is, oh, I'm not alone. Others are also backsliding, so what's the big deal? I'm talking about the attitude number one, psychology of backsliding. I'm not alone. Others are also backsliding, so what's the big deal? Many people who are backsliding, that's what they think. I'm not alone. Look at the church. I know this church is about 200 people, but if you look, we are not even 100 in church. So at least I know that more than 100 people are on Zoom, so why should I go to church? I'm not alone. When I come on the prayer line, I can see that only 40 people are there. I know the church is 200. Oh, I'm not alone. Several people didn't come for prayer, so I don't need to go for prayer. Yeah. I'm not alone. I used to be in the choir. Ah, I see that several people have not rejoined the choir after COVID. So what's the big deal? I mean, I'm not alone. Why should I rush in? And gradually, the devil makes you very comfortable. I'm not alone. I'm not alone. I'm not alone. By the time you realize everybody has been restored, but you are alone and you're still singing the song, I'm not alone. I'm not alone. Meanwhile, you are alone. Ladies and gentlemen, how to combat this? Tell yourself. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 5, every man will bear his own burden. Heaven is not gone. We don't go to heaven in groups or as a church or as families. Do you know what the Bible says about backsliders? Jeremiah chapter 3, verse number 14. I was shocked when I saw that. The Lord said, return, my people. If thou were, return, backsliding children. Say the Lord, for I am married unto you. and I will take you one out of a city. Ladies and gentlemen, the Lord says that even if the whole city, you should be an individual and come out. If you are the only one, I will come, I will do everything to come out of that city. 10,000, 50, 650,000, I'll take you alone. Clap for the Lord Jesus. The Lord is dealing with you as an individual. Even if it's a family, I'll take two out of a family. Even if the rest of the family say they won't, you are the only two people, make the move. Yeah. Make the move. You get everybody snoring. Oh, everybody is sleeping. Let me also sleep. After all, I'm not the only person. Pastor said we are fasting and everybody is eating. Beside, I will not eat. Clap for the Lord Jesus. I will fast. Oh, put your hands together as if your hands belong to you. You are behaving as if you borrowed the hand. You know how when you go and rent a car, you know, or you lease a car, you don't want to put miles on it. So you drive it gently so that the miles don't go because they will charge you. It's not your car. If it's your car, you drive it anywhere you want. Clap as if your hands belong to you. Belong to you. This is what causes many people to backslide. I'm not alone. I'm not alone. Listen, it's a rented Christianity that they are coming. So he said that I will take you one out of a city. It's not a city deliverance. It's not a city group. It's an individual. He said, even in a city, it is a one by one by one. Yeah. And in a family, I can take two and leave the rest. It's truth. Amen. So ladies and gentlemen, let's be individuals. Me, I worship my God irrespective of what my wife thinks, what my children think, what my church members think. Brother Michael, that is the last thing you are telling me. But when you see a good thing, you see, when you see a genuine pastoral thing, you see, it's because I relate with God as an individual. In fact, one church member told me, Pastor, allow me to be selfish on this one. Christianity, if you are not selfish, it won't work. Yeah. Joyce, it's good to see you. So Christianity, you have to learn, not selfish in that way, you have to learn to have a personal impact. Yeah. So, everybody's doing it, so I'll do it. Everybody's dressing this way, so I'll dress this way. Everybody, when you go out there, everybody is working on Sunday, so I will. Everybody is doing it. That thing is the mentality of backsliders. I'm not alone, so it must be okay. It must be okay. If I was alone, I'll be worried. But I'm not alone. You know, let me tell you, this I'm not alone thing. There was once a friend of man he had gone to a party, wild party, with the friends. I thought you were taking your bag to go. He had gone to a wild party, and he's a Christian, proper born-again Christian, went to a wild party. And then when they were coming home, he didn't have a ride. So the guys all drank and things. One person gave a ride. And so as they were giving the ride, he was telling himself he hopes that none of his Christian friends are here to see. And he saw a few of his Christian people. They said, I'm not alone, so it's okay. Then he relaxed in the club, started jamming and putting his arm around the girls and all that. Then they sat in the car. The car that was borrowed by almost a strange unbeliever. So as he was there, the whole place was quiet because he was with unbelievers and he was not flowing. So he just picked up one of the cassette tape recorders, cassettes. He said, I'm slotting it into the car, that's somebody's car, so that we'll play some music, you know, just like the let's talk about sex baby type of thing, so that it will jam the atmosphere. And then they can continue. Christian brother who was in the choir leading. Not Brother Cyrus, but. When he took the tape and he put it, he slotted it in. What should come out? Preaching. Hey! Then he said, hey! Then he said, preaching. Then he looked at the unbeliever who was drunk driving. He said, hey! You also listen to preaching. He said, hey! You take Charlie, you be there. I'm securing myself. He clapped for the Lord Jesus. He said, "You think you we've gone to sin? I'm secure myself. I know this is bad. I know I have started working on myself. It's just today I came for the appointment, but I've got tapes. I'm listening. I'm not born again. You are coming back. Me, I'm going to Jerusalem. You are coming from Jerusalem. I'm on my way up." Eh? And the guy said, "Hey, this thing that we think it is, everybody's doing it, is not like that." From that day, he decided this thing. You know how when you write exams and then you didn't pass, and when you are going home to say your results, you say, "Oh, it's not only me. You know, a lot of people didn't pass. A lot of people didn't pass." It's just a comfort in numbers thing. But at the end of the day, whether a lot of people didn't pass or not, when it comes to people who are getting jobs, if you haven't finished school, you won't get one. That's when you know it's an individual affair. Ladies and gentlemen, let's behave like individuals. Let's not join the crowd. Don't follow the crowd. Follow the cloud to Jerusalem. The cloud of the presence. That thinking makes you backslide. Do your very best. Yeah, do your very best. You know, this guy who does this, Jamaica, Usain Bolt, when he's running, he doesn't care. That's how he broke the records. All the records, he's still holding it. Because the way the people were slow, he could have just slowed down. He never slowed down. Because he's an individual record. May you have an individual record with God in Jesus' name. The psychology of backsliding, that's number one. Number two, attitude. I have a lot of time. Christ is not really coming soon. I have a lot of time. I'm young. I won't die now. It's another one. I'm young. I won't die now. Ladies and gentlemen, many of you don't know Princess Diana, but he died. She died so early. What are some of the people who have died young that we know? Michael Jackson was not that young.
50. Kobe Bryant.
Who? Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant. I'm sure Kobe Bryant retired. When Kobe Bryant retired, he said, "I have a lot of time. Now that I have finished my family, I have really sacrificed my time for basketball. I've built mansions. I have a personal plane, personal helicopter, personal. Let's enjoy. You're going for a basketball training just here. Normally would have driven. I will fly you. And friends, come, let me fly you. It's time to enjoy. I'm too young. I can't die now. This is my time. I'm now going to start enjoying." Boom. Was gone. And his daughter was even younger. I think the daughter was older than Kobe Bryant, right? Aaliyah was older, yeah, than Kobe Bryant. See, I've confused you. How can he be older than her father? I have a lot of time. I'm not dying now. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says that he will come like a thief in the night. A thief in the night. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 2 to 3. He said that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For they, when they shall say peace and safety, then shall sudden destruction rather come to them. Matthew chapter 24. Let's read from verse number 36. Matthew 24. Bible says, "By that day and hour, no man knows it. Not even the angels of heaven, but the Father only." Jesus even doesn't know it. Because the disciples asked in Acts chapter 1, "Oh, when is going to be the day?" They say, "Hey, it's not for you to know. It's only the Father who knows when." But you see, nobody knows it, not even the angels. Verse 37, keep reading. "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Next. "For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark." My goodness. "And knew not." They didn't know until the flood came and took them all away. "So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." And then I explain it. Verse 40 to 44. It's beautiful. "There shall be two in the field. The one shall be taken, the other will be left behind." Keep going. Verse 41. "Two women shall be grinding at the mill." They will be at Costco. They will be doing some groceries shopping. "The one will be taken, the other will be left." I hope you will be taken and your friend will be left. In Jesus' name. Watch therefore, for you know not the hour that the Lord comes. The verse 43. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known at which what time the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Then finally, verse 44. Therefore, be also ready, for in such an hour that you don't think the Son of Man will come, that is when he will come. Clap for the Lord Jesus. So, think properly. Let every day, one person told me that the best way to live your Christian life and to get the best out of your life, live every day as if it was your last day. Yes, live every day. Read your most scriptures, do your most prayer, be the most righteous, and live. When you do that for a while, you will have a habit, action, habit, attitude, lifestyle, behavior, and then finally lifestyle will become the lifestyle of a Christian. You know, you live a lifestyle of, you know, recently I learned that many people that want to lose weight, they do what they call intermittent fasting. Do you know what they do? They wake up, they don't eat till maybe 4. Some people do, they do what? They call it 16 and 8. 16 hours of fasting and 8 hours they eat anything they want. Some people do 20 and 4. Some people do 12 and this and that and that. And I realized these people are fasting every day. But guess what? They will do that to lose weight. But if they came to church and you say, let's do fasting for 1 week, that then becomes a problem. Ladies and gentlemen, intermittent fasting, you know what it does? It makes you lose weight. It actually prevents diabetes. And those who have diabetes, it goes down, heart attacks, strokes, everything. And you are more healthy. You are, even your mental well-being works. When I heard that, there's a craze where I work. Everybody is losing every weight. And I ask myself, as the body is being trimmed, how is the spirit doing? If only they could be Christian enough to add prayer and to make it look, I am doing my spiritual intermittent fasting. The side effect is weight loss and good health. They will be so blessed. Clap for the Lord Jesus. So you should live your life as if Christ is coming today. It is possible that Christ will come today. Your life will be so beautiful. Your life will be so healthy. The backsliding will never be an issue. Like those of us who are in Zoom, you will realize that you will live your life as if this is the last time you go for a service. You would rather spend your time. If you knew that you were going to, Jesus was coming, I would like Jesus to pluck me from the church rather than to pluck me, I didn't go to church. And now we are negotiating. Look, Jesus, I had a certain reason. You don't know. I have a certain fear of this. You know, they told us that the Antichrist is because the vaccine is an Antichrist thing, is a mark of the beast. All the excuses. Ladies and gentlemen, this the mark of the beast thing. If that's the reason you are not taking the vaccine, you are wrong. And if it's true, then we are too late. Once the mark of the beast and the Antichrist comes, it means we have been left behind. The rapture has taken place. And we better figure out ways of surviving here, because it's not going to be easy when you are left behind. It's not true. So don't let that stop you from taking the vaccine. I'm a physician. Initially, I thought it was constitutionally wrong to say it, but it's irresponsible medically and spiritually for me not to tell you that the vaccines are okay. They are okay. Yes, I understand you. It's too new. But look, I've also watched it for a while. I was like you. I've watched it. The people, they haven't died. Yeah. And I've seen the people that are dying in the hospital. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm vaccinated is 90%. 90% who die, who are in ICU, are not vaccinated. Now it's called the unvaccinated pandemic. Don't be a fool. Not you, but the person. Vaccinate. I was a fool. I said I won't vaccinate. So I never talked about it. I told myself, I was just like you. I will never vaccinate. I will never vaccinate. And I did not do it until I realized, until I got COVID. I got COVID. And my wife too followed. Yeah. And my children did. Then I say, huh. And all my colleagues who had been vaccinated did not get it. And I said, what a foolish thing I've done. Shame on me, foolish pastor. But not a foolish congregation. A foolish pastor has converted. Ladies and gentlemen, now, Bible says, as the priest, so the people are vaccinated. You can vaccinate. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Yeah. When they went and vaccinated Mama Mercy, I said, these people, they don't know things. Eh? I was wondering, why did they do it? But I didn't say anything. They said, you were smart. So now I'm smart. I got mine. I took Johnson & Johnson. You know, I don't like needles, so I took just one. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Johnson & Johnson is only one. Now they are saying booster. My shoulder is already paining me for the job, but I'll get it. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, please don't die because of COVID. If you die because of COVID and you have not vaccinated, you have died a foolish death. Bible says in Proverbs 27 verse 12, the wise man sees the evil from afar and hides himself. The foolish go on and they are punished. I will say it until you are vaccinated. Or I shouldn't say it. Look at Rashad. Strong man like you want to die because of COVID? Go and vaccinate. This is not a Republican matter or a Democrat or independent matter. It's a life and death matter. It's a wisdom matter. Clap for the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Anyway, I'm sorry if I've offended you. If because of this you are leaving church, I'm sorry. Please don't leave church because of that. I am only saying it out of love and out of personal conviction. I tell you, okay? Please do it. Yeah. Yeah. Brother Michael, what did I tell you? Come. Vaccinated and unvaccinated. Come. Speak.
He told me I was being foolish. Mm-hmm. He said,
why?
Go, and he said, because it'll be.
When you called me, what did you say? What was the problem?
I didn't trust the vaccine.
And what was it costing you? Tell them.
They would have taken me off the kidney list.
This man is about, has kidney failure. He's about to be given a kidney for his, he's lost all the weight, done everything. And they said, the only thing is vaccination. If you don't vaccinate, we're taking you off the list. And they said, you can take your kidney.
So get your car.
Then he called me, pastor, I don't care about the kidney. I won't vaccinate. And what did I tell you?
He said, you're a fool.
I didn't say you're a fool. I said, don't be foolish.
You're a fool.
Clap for the Lord. Go. Instead of come, go. Clap for Brother Michael. And Brother Michael, what did you do?
I went and got vaccinated that day.
Say it again.
I went and got vaccinated that day.
That same day. And now your kidney is on the list again. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Listen, the attitudes are what is bringing this. Let me read the rest of the attitude and we'll go away. Attitude number 3. God loves me too much to punish me if I backslide. You're joking. Bible says, behold the goodness, Romans chapter 11, verse 22. Behold the goodness and the severity of the Lord. God is a just God. Yeah. He's a just God. Why do you think he doesn't allow sinners to go to heaven, to go and contaminate everything? No, he rewards you for your righteousness, but he'll punish you for your misbehavior too. So if you backslide and you lose, you go to Jericho, you belong to Jericho. Okay? So behold, God is good. He's merciful. He will forgive until the last day. Even the thief on the cross was forgiven. So I don't doubt it that you will also be forgiven if you ask him to forgive you. No doubt about it. He loves you that much. But you don't know when you will die. You don't know when. Please, you know, some people die suddenly. Don't backslide. And apart from that, when you don't backslide and you live in the Lord, he blesses you so much. The anointing, the angels, why lose out of this beautiful life? Amen. Attitude number last, I have more time. I'm not going to die soon. And look, it's a deception. Ladies and gentlemen, let's be wise. Let's not backslide. Instead of moving from Jericho, Jerusalem to down to Jericho, may you move up from Jericho up to Jerusalem, the presence of God. Put your hands together, rise to your feet. Hallelujah. You will never backslide. You know, I read in the Bible in Jeremiah chapter 9, the Bible said, God said from the verse 1, he said, look, I wish that my head was full of water and my eyes were a spring like a tap so that I can cry my heart out for the pain that I feel for my backsliding children. He said, oh, that my head were waters, my eyes were a fountain of tears, that I may weep day and night for the slain of my daughters who are, you know, my daughters, my people who are backsliding. Then verse 2, he said, oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place, wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go and just be in the wilderness, because they are all adulterers, assembly of treacherous men who are backsliding. God said, look, my tears for you, I love you so much. As I see you backsliding, it hurts because I know where you're going. I know the dangers you're going to fall into. And in the verse 17, he said, the dangers, you will also cry because the pain that the devil will do against you, that the pain of your punishment will make you cry so much that you need professional mourners to help you mourn. God is not willing that anybody will backslide. Those of you who used to pray, go back to your prayer. Those of you who used to fast, go back to fasting. Some of you used to be church workers and shepherds. Please go back to working for the Lord. Everywhere that the Lord elevated you to, please, if you are below that, you're on your way down. Be restored. Those of you who used to read the Bible, memorize scriptures, go back. Those of you who used to love the church and be in service all the time, please go back. Anything short of that is a Jericho, is a stripping, is a problem. And the Lord is crying tears, floods, because of the pain you are about to see. It's not a threat, it's a warning for recovery of somebody who cares and is willing to help you. And he said, no matter how far you've gone, I will receive you back. I want you back. I love you enough to have sent. He who did not spare his own son, but freely gave him for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things, including restoration and to favor? All things. You will be blessed. Your backsliding will not take your favor away because you are being restored. No matter how far, you cannot out-sin God. You are not too far gone. Please come back home. Come back home. Let the Lord embrace you like the prodigal son, and there will be a party in heaven. Bible says, when one sinner is restored, there is rejoicing and a party. Your party is assured. Come back, my darling. Come back, my brother. Come back, my sister. And see the Lord embrace you and take you higher in Jesus' name. Put your hand on your heart and let's pray. Say, Lord, take me back. Take me back. Take me back. Take me back. I want to be restored. I want a blessing. Now, say this. All of you, say this after me. Say, Mighty Father, you don't need to cry anymore for my pain. I refuse the pain of backsliding. I accept the restoration, the joy of Jerusalem. The joy of Jerusalem. I'm coming back to my prayers, to my fellowship, to my word, quiet time, worship, fasting, going to church again, witnessing to people, inviting people to church. Whatever I used to do, however close I was, I am back, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Restore me. Fill me with your sweet Holy Spirit. I am born again. I am a child of God. I am rededicating my life to sweet Jesus Christ. In Jesus' mighty name, may my name be written in the book of life permanently. May I never backslide again. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Wow, weren't you blessed by that anointed word of God? Come join our services this and every Sunday at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time on Zoom at meeting ID 934-809-4313 or in person at 5796 Shelby Oaks Drive, Memphis, Tennessee. Be blessed.